Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday, ready for another session and video on our new little series called Union with Christ. And of course, this is a great topic, so necessary for every believer to understand how one we are with Jesus Christ, how we have been drawn into union. In other words, everything in Christ is in us, just like a pipe that comes together, and you take that union and you just work it, and it brings two opposite pipes, the threads, together until you have one single pipe. And this is what God did with us in our union with Christ. He brought together us who were, you know, and you could say, as the scripture does, as an enemy of Christ. He brought us together with Jesus to make us one with him, so that everything in Jesus could come and live in us, and then we could live in him. And so, as we always do, we always share these videos, and you can go to the YouTube channel at Adventures in Grace and subscribe, and definitely get other people to listen in. I was just talking with someone last night at our healing center, the Healing by Design. We're up and going this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And of course, it's been really, really good. And you're more than welcome to be invited as you look on our itinerary page on our website. You can find when we're going to be doing these meetings here in Castle Rock, Colorado. But someone was just mentioning the last series we did on believing, how much they enjoyed that, and how it helped them. And so definitely let people know about these videos. Number one, we're sharing these thoughts so that people would allow God to become real to them, instead of just letting them be in the pages of your scriptures, which, you know what? It's amazing reading material to read about who Jesus is, the coming of Christ, the walk and the victory of the children of Israel, the rise and the fall of their time with God, and then the consummation of all things, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And then here we are in this new dispensation called the dispensation of grace, the new covenant, where we're walking according to what Jesus has done for us, that is has brought us into union with Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. And so, number one, that you would let God become real to you. Number two, that you get answers to your prayers. And number three, that you'd be able to share those testimonies with others. So let's jump right back into what we always jump into, and that is Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible, which is the invitation from Jesus himself to each one of us. Take it personally. That he wants you to share the same exact relationship with the Father that he did. He wants you to share in that relationship. And so it starts like this. And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, let's jump back into some of the scriptures. And of course, at the very beginning of this, we're just sharing some things about our union, that it does bring us into union with God, whereby we become sons of God. Now, that is absolutely amazing. And it's hard for some people to actually wrap their brain around that we have actually been born again of the Spirit. That's what Jesus was talking about when he talked to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Well, Nicodemus was already born. What was he talking about? Being born of the Spirit, becoming a part of God's family where we are sons of God. Well, also, our union with Christ has made us righteous. So I love this verse of scripture, Romans 4:25. It says, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification. Now, before I go to the justification, let me just say, he was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds. It was what we have done on the earth. It is being born into sin, being sinners, and then being good at doing it, which caused Jesus to come and caused him to die on that cross. He was betrayed. He was put to death because of our misdeeds. But I want you to also see this. He was raised to secure our justification. Or in other words, in parenthesis, it says our acquittal. Now, you know, that's a courtroom term there. Acquittal just means we're cleared. We've been cleared. This is what David was so excited about. Blessed are those whose sins are not counted against them. We've been acquitted. And it went on to say, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. Notice, Jesus went to hell because of our misdeeds, but he could not be raised from the dead until every single person, past, present, and future, was justified or declared righteous. Not until he had paid the price to acquit everyone's sin, to absolve their sin, and to bring our account balance to a complete zero, where no sin would ever be held against our account. This is what Jesus did. This is the good news, folks. It's so good because you don't earn it. You just receive it by faith. By faith, I take, Lord Jesus, what you've done for me, and I receive it into my life, that all my sin is gone, past, present, and future. As far as the east is from the west, you have removed it into the sea of forgetfulness. You do not remember my sin. Punishment and penalties have been removed from my life. I thank you that you're for me. You're not against me. There is therefore now no condemnation that abides in me. I can walk free. I can walk in liberty. I can walk holy and pure before you in righteousness because you have made me this way, not because I've earned it or I've done something to merit it, but because I've enjoyed receiving it and embracing what you've done for me, that I might actually begin to experience a complete renovation of the way I do life. Well, that's what Jesus Christ does for us. I thank God for these scriptures here, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. People know this verse very well. And verse 21, where it says, he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He was a spotless lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He knew no sin. But he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I tell you, one of the great things that we see in scripture, and that really begins to drive this point home, is Jesus always talked about God as his Father. But there was one time where he actually talked to God as God, kind of like people do. You say, when was that? That was when he was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why didn't he say, my Father, why haven't you forsaken me? Well, it's because at that moment he absorbed and became the sin of the entire world. If God had a vial of sin, he poured it into Jesus in that moment, and all the sin of mankind, past, present, and future, the actual sin problem that makes men sin, was poured into Jesus. Isaiah tells us he lost all form of humanity. It literally disfigured him. If the glory of God could beautify Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and alter his face, what would the hideousness and the darkness of sin do? It would literally transform his face almost so that you could not recognize him as human. And what did he cry out? My God, why? Because at that moment he was identifying 100% with us as sinners, so that he would go to a place of sinfulness or go to a place of hell and pay that price for us. I'll read it again. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have been made right. I mean, just very simply, righteousness is being right spirit, being made right soul, and being made right in your body. I'm telling you, Jesus made allowance so that we would actually be able to receive perfection in our spirit, in our mind, and in our body. That's why those that are not proponents for divine healing have missed out so much, as the righteousness of God also works in the body. And one of the main reasons why it does is the moment that your spirit is completely perfect in Christ and you begin to receive that or accept that, it works through your body. Thank God for divine healing. Thank God for someone right behind the ear, right back here. There's been such pain and such difficulty moving. In fact, it gives you sharp pains up into the head. Well, you're being healed right now in the wonderful name of Jesus. Why? Just to prove that Jesus Christ is our healer. Well, not only did he come to bring us and make us sons of God in our union with Christ and make us righteous, but he brought us a divine nature, the divine nature of God. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. What was he talking about? Life and life more abundantly. He was talking about the divine nature of God. When everything in Jesus now flows into you, you will become just like him. What is it that flows into your life? People say it's eternal life. That's right. But what is eternal life? Well, that's me going to heaven. No, that's just a part of it. The real truth of eternal life is the essence of God's being. In other words, God's DNA, the very cellular structure, a makeup of the spirit of who God is, has actually been transported and infused inside of your spirit, and the old man of sin has been done away with, and the brand new nature, the divine nature of God, has been placed inside your spirit, that you are just like him. You can function like him. You can receive from him. It's the most normal and natural and regular and to be expected thing in your life as a spiritual being made in his image and likeness, drawn into union for you to have fellowship with God as though he was as real or more so than anyone here on the planet Earth. This union with Christ, I'll tell you what, it's given us a brand new nature. We see that over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice, we've become a partaker of the divine nature. Well, brother, I believe that you're going to be a partaker of that nature when you go to heaven. Well, I know we've sung the song, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And of course it will be a day of rejoicing, but we've all sung that song so long with the idea that we can't rejoice, we can't experience something amazing and wonderful until we get there. That's the reason why Jesus brought heaven and put it right inside your soul. I'm telling you what, he comes to live in you and makes you full of everything he's full of. And the divine nature of God has been implanted inside of you. You are filled with his nature. And that's the only way the Holy Ghost can come and abide within you, is if you have a holy nature just like him. You know, people are always talking about holiness, but from the standpoint of religion or works or law. You need to stop doing this, need to stop doing that. You need to become holy. Well, I couldn't be holy outside of his holiness. When he moved into my heart and made me a brand new spiritual being and gave me a divine nature, that nature is the holiness of God. Now, being told that I am holy, let it be revealed that that's who I am, fellowshipping with Jesus, letting him become real, that's where your performance begins to change. Behavioral modification comes as we enjoy and interact with God himself and enjoy the very blessings of what he's done for us in Christ. Well, we know that our union with Christ gave us complete and total redemption. Listen to this. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. This isn't something you're going to try to get. It's something that you receive from him. I know this is real simple, everyone, but some of these simple foundational truths is the reason why grace works. Hebrews 9 and 12 says, not by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place for us, having obtained eternal redemption. See, this is something that only one man could do. I mean, one man got us in trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that man's name was Adam. But the last man, the Christ, the Son of God, got us out of trouble. Amen. One man brought us into sin, but another man brought us into righteousness, holiness, and the very presence of our Father God. I'm telling you right now, you might want to grab your heart and just thank Him right now. Thank you, Lord, that the very presence of God abides and lives in me. For I am the temple of the living God, and He lives in me. His life is living in me. The divine nature of God lives in me. I am a son of God. I am righteous. You've made everything wrong that was wrong about me. You've turned it and made it right. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing and this perfection that only Jesus could accomplish. Come on, everybody. It's time to praise the Lord. Some of these things you just got to meditate on. You just got to lift up your hands and give God praise because they're hard for the human brain to figure out, but your heart knows it's true. Listen to this last scripture, and then the next time we get together, we're going to load you down with some different translations that are just going to set you on fire. That's where we may have to take a little break and run a little bit. All right, everybody? Amplified version of Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For in Him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in a bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature." So in Jesus, what did we see? We saw a complete expression of the divine nature of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost living inside of His body. And everywhere He went, He did God things. Amen. He did spiritual things that always counteracted the negativity of this world. He always drove the devil out and manifested the light and the power and the wonderful love of God. Well, folks, this is something that happened in Jesus' life. Go on reading. It says, "And you are in Him." Well, what does that mean? It simply means everything Jesus was and is, you are. You are in Him. So the same divine nature of God has its full expression in you just as much as it did in Jesus, because you are the body, He is the head, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. This is what Jesus prayed about before He went to the cross, that we would know. In the same way that the Father loves Him, that He would love us, I and Him, He and me, and we are all in the Father. And it goes on to say this, "Made full and have come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority over every angelic principality and power." Wow, wow, wow. Feed on that for just a moment as I get you a little grace story. And this is so good right here. It's from a dear lady by the name of Becky. She said, "I'd like to say thank you for consistently reminding me that grace is the source of my everyday adventures with God. And I'm beginning to be aware that there is no small adventure with Him. I'd like to share two adventures with you, so I'll share one of those right now. I said, a few weeks ago, as I was getting ready to go somewhere, I was listening to your Adventures in Grace online. As I was listening, all of a sudden, I realized you were reading a story that I had sent in some time back, one that I had not heard you share before. I had missed the live broadcast when you had shared it initially. After your program went off, I asked God why He had me to be listening at that particular time that morning when you were reading my story. He said, I thought you'd like to hear it. He is so thoughtful, such a good God. Do you know why I like that? I like things like this so much because every single one of you have had times like this. We might not have acknowledged and given the credit to God that He was interacting with us. But the more you give Him credit for interacting and acknowledge Him and the things that He's doing for you, the more you'll recognize that He's doing things everywhere. Well, everyone, like I said earlier, you can go to the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. Invite people to come. You can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. By all means, make sure you get the email, jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and find it on our website and send in your grace stories. Until next time, we'll see you again.